And then when putting the order together of the record, you know, I always thought, I mean, we've talked on past podcasts about Bruce and his influence and, you know. And we didn't just listen to the music back then. Like, I was worried about the construct of the records, you know, and why certain songs were put where certain songs were. And Bruce had a way of coming in hard, you know, off the bat with one or two songs, and then kind of pulling back on the reins and putting in something darker or softer or just different, and almost the song that's never going to be the single, you know, like right up there with those songs.
Yeah.
And, you know, Night on Born to Run, and, you know, just that weird. And there's a number of examples of it that he does. And that's really why I wanted to have Joni where it was. You know, we give you the mission statement of the record, then we show you our best, and now... Now we're going to get into the meat of it all.
Something more personal. I mean, and Joni's an old acoustic song of ours from our very beginnings. But when we brought on Ed and made it electric, it became something else. And it actually becomes a very powerful electric song. But it still has that personal dimension to it.
Well, John wrote the words to this one. And I remember being behind the Dalton Grade School is where, of course, I think every song we wrote then was written behind the Dalton Grade School. But I really think... We did write this one behind the Dalton Grade School.
Yeah.
Which is no longer there, by the way, sadly. Oh. But, you know, and then John told me the thing about Joni Mitchell and reading that article.
Yeah, it just felt like you're a performer. You're sharing your art with the world. And it's not up to you to decide how... people are going to take you or how much, you know,
and what your status should be within the whole hierarchy.
Right. And when you've been clearly successful and praised, you know.
Yeah. And not just with praise, but monetary praise as well.
As well, yes. So that's where the idea of, we owe nothing to the clowns. That's the choice that they make.
Yeah.
And they know why they perform. And that's our responsibility as performers. Yeah. And we're here to please you.
And to me, when singing it, I don't think about Joni Mitchell.
No.
I usually think of just, you know, we've all had that relationship with poison, be you male or female or whatever you are or whatever you like, we all have that relationship with someone who's not, you know, necessarily good for us. And I just really tried to get the anger of it, which I think it does. And I think this was another song and might be the one real memory I have of John saying, you gotta sing it. You gotta sing it. Because early on it was hard, you know, to sing until a time comes you find your voice when you're a singer. But I wasn't a natural singer. I was never a great singer. And it was hard. It was a journey to find that spot.
But at this point, when you're recording, you have become a performer. And at that time, playing live as long as we did, and we played, anyone that would have us, anywhere they would have us, and we played parties and house parties, and you became a true performer at that point. And this song, and what Ed brings to the recording with the incredible triple solo. We play live. We're a good live band, and we like to, but the studio allows you to do something magic, and on the studio performance, it brings out a triple solo that ends in a beautiful little like fray, like a fountain. It just kind of ends in this beautiful work.
Yeah, Ed did a great job on that. I have vague recollections of him sitting at the board and putting those other solos on there.
Yeah,
I mean, most of that record really is just, you know, once we got Marcus's drum parts, we weren't doing really nearly any overdubs or it was just get it on there.
I mean, so, usually it's one or two or three tracks, but not necessarily an overdub.
No.
I mean, all that stuff ends
you're
up being
playing the tracks and they're
used.
Staying. I mean, a lot of that record is live. It's why I think it captured really what we did live, because it was mostly live. I don't remember any overdubs vocally. You know, John and I have talked. I don't think he remembers doing any overdubs.
Usually my scratch tracks were the tracks that we used. Yeah. In this case, at that time playing live, I was using a Crybaby. Yeah. Remember, I actually, but I didn't originally record it in the studio. I think to avoid like the squeaks and the hinges and whatever. And then actually entered it on the track after in the studio.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was all.
Yep. So